Welcome to Newbury Baptist Church. If you think you haven't heard that song before, it's because you haven't. We're using it for the first time this week, and we'll be singing that together a little bit later on in the service. Huge thanks to everyone who helped to put the me time prayer day together yesterday. It was lovely. And most of the material is still there at the back. If you want to add your prayers to the ones that are there on the heart or on the paper chain or in other places, the praise tree, if you've no idea what any of those three things are, go and find out at the end. Do take part if you can this morning. We'd love to have you do that. This afternoon at 4:15, we have our open house event for families with children. It's great fun. I never want to miss it, and I hope you'll be able to come along too. 4:15 this afternoon. Next Sunday, there will be cakes, which you're clearly not interested in, but I am. Anyway, if you'd like to bring a cake and bring that to the Bake Off, and that will help to raise funds for street pastors, and you'll be hearing more about street pastors next week as well. Very excited to say that as of this morning, registration opens for this year's light party. And when you go through this chatterbox, you'll get some invitations to give to your friends. Because last year, the absolute best people in the whole church for inviting people to chatterbox to the light party was you. It was the children of the church. So get out there and invite your friends. Take some of those lovely invitations this morning, and let's see if we can get lots and lots and lots of people here on October the 31st. The other thing, just to mention to you, in case you didn't see it in the news bulletin this week, is in 2 weeks' time, on the Sunday evening, I shall be off to Nepal. I'm going to visit the project that you very kindly supported in memory of Fiona, and I shall go and visit that just outside Kathmandu. But I'll also be visiting the Rawlings. So if you have cards or letters, as opposed to, you know, great big 2 kilogram jars of jam, please. But if you've got cards or letters that you'd like me to take out to them, then please let me have those in advance of the trip. Thank you very much indeed. Let's stand up together, ready to worship God, shall we? Just listen. I don't know how your week's been or how even today has been, but just listen to this. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Let's worship Him together. pray together as we remain standing. Father, in you we are made strong. In you we have life itself, and with bowed heads and hearts we confess we've not always behaved as if that were the case. We've said things and done things that make it seem as if we've forgotten about you. Father, please, will you forgive us? Please, will you pour out your Spirit? Please, will you teach us to see you more and to know you more and to love you more? Father, please, show your presence here today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do please sit down. Well, actually, except for any of the children, I haven't got a story box, and that's because you need to help me with something that's on the screen. So come out here. Chris, could you double task and put the lights out for me for a minute so we get a really good look at what's on the screen? You see, I discovered this week that the grown-ups aren't terribly good at spotting Jesus, which is a little bit worrying. Anyway, let's have a look. Now, I've got a book. Micah, could you reach that book? Can you see that coloured book on the edge of the pulpit there for me? That's the one. Brilliant. Thank you. This is a great little book. It's like Where's Wally, but it's called Where's Jesus? So you have to spot him. So let's have a look and see if you can spot him in the first one. Now, this is where Jesus is turning water into wine. Can anybody see where they think he might be on there? There's somebody who's turning water into wine. Can you see him doing it? Someone's showing him an empty jar. They've tipped it up. Can you see? Yeah? Where? Here, look, have my old-fashioned pre-digital pointer. Where is he? Up there on the left. There is a little group of people. Let's try another one. Hang on. Let's try this one. Now, this one, somebody is telling him he shouldn't be wasting his time with children. He's saying, I should be talking to them. Can you see? He's wearing the same things. Can you see him on there anywhere? Where can you see him? Yeah, go on, you tell me. Well, you can try and point if you like. Right in the middle, there's a little house with a tree, and he's standing in the doorway. You're pretty good at this. Now, I'm going to show you the one now that the adults couldn't do on Monday, or most of them couldn't. Now, there's a little story behind this, because somebody went on holiday, and he took lots of pictures of the mountains with all the snow on. And when he got home, he was really disappointed, because the snow was melting. He thought, that's not the pictures I wanted. But then he looked at one of them, and in the pattern of the snow melting, he could see Jesus' face. Now, on Monday, about half the grown-ups could see it, and half of them couldn't. Can any of you see a face in there? Can you? Where can you see it? So, there's... Oh, hang on. I'll try it with this one. Look, let's have a look. Look, there's one eye, and there's another eye. And there's a note. Let's have a look. Who can see it? Who can see Jesus' face on there? Oh, what about you out there? Ooh, who can't see it? Oh, we'll try again. Can you see it? So, look, there's a nose. There's one eye in the bright and one eye in the shadow. And there's a beard and a chin. Is it trickling through?
I don't know.
Oh, some people... Can you still not see it?
No.
No? Oh, dear. Look, there we are. There's a nose. Hey, listen. What we're all about is helping people see Jesus where they've never seen him before. You can see him. And you couldn't see him before, but now you can. That's brilliant. That's what we want. We want people seeing Jesus where they've never seen him before. Because you know what? That's good news if they can do it. Let's learn a new song with a little bit of action to it. You ready for some action?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Don't
come on
anywhere,
in, up you
guys.
Get.
Don't
you can't sit
anywhere.
Down for this song.
I need your help. You're going to help me. Don't run away.
Oh. Come on, come back
and join. You're going to need a bit of space because we need to do some jumping. Maybe listen to the song and see what we mean.
Okay, so we are going to learn this new song, Rescuer, and we're going to just play through the chorus to give the children a chance to practice their jumping, because you've got to do it in time. No challenge there. So we're just going to play through the chorus and so that you can hear that, and then watch where Naomi stomps, that's where you need to jump. And if you don't feel like jumping or stomping, you could always clap like some people were doing as we were playing it earlier. So join in as you would like to. Okay. But you can just listen to the chorus to begin with if you want. He's a rescuer. He's a done. I think you kind of almost need to stand on the baptistry to make it really. That's why Naomi's standing there today. But if you'd like to stand up now and join in, and we'll do the whole thing. Thank you.
Stand, jump, clap.
Yes.
One or the other of those things.
Or all three.
I'm watching.
He's a rescuer. He's a
do sit down. Perhaps those going out to different groups would like to do so, and keep an eye out for those special light party invitations.
You know, just as we were singing that last song, I was really struck by, we have so much to be thankful to God for, and these next three songs that we're going to be singing now will really just help us hopefully to focus on thanking God for what he's done in our lives, and it will be different for all of us, but maybe you could just really try and focus on that as you're singing these songs. If you'd like to stand and join in, that'd be great. I love you, Lord, and I live.
Oh, my soul.
exalted indeed beyond all we can ever imagine. Father, with all the riches of heaven and earth at your disposal, will you accept these small tokens of our love for you and make them grow, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jackie, thank you.
Let's pray together in the stillness. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to pray for the people in our world who are suffering today, especially those in the United States where the after effects of Storm Florence is still ongoing. We pray for those who decided to stay put where mandatory evacuation was put into place. And we pray for the friends and families of those involved, especially for the families of those who were killed. We also pray for the Philippines where a typhoon struck yesterday and has killed more than 10 people. We pray for those people who have lost loved ones. And we pray for those in both those events that have lost their homes. And we pray for the structure of the countries, especially the Philippines. We ask you, Lord, that you may be with the many suffering from the after effects of these two major natural events. And then we pray for those in Hong Kong and other countries readying themselves for the storms ahead. Now we remember those who live in other poorer countries who have many needs. We want to thank you, Father God, for the people from our country going out to mission in these countries, helping people to understand who you are. And especially we remember the Rawlings out in Nepal, and we thank you that Richard is going to see them. Now closer to home, we thank you, Father God, for the team and the hard work that went into preparing the prayer day yesterday. We thank you for filling the hearts of those who attended. May we know exactly what you want from us and what you want each and every one of us to do at NBC, however small. We remember those struggling with unemployment and other situations, particularly the many homeless, by choice or not, here in the UK. We thank you for the various organisations that are helping those who are struggling. We remember those from NBC who are unable to attend today, and thinking of those who are ill at home or just unable to get to church. And now we will take a moment to remember others known to us individually at this time. We thank you, O Lord, for life, ministry, and mission here in our own church. Encourage us, Father, to fill our hearts with your spirit and encircle us with your love. Lord, make yourself known to us in new and exciting ways. Challenge us, inspire us, and empower us here and now. Challenge us inside and outside our church to be a church without walls. Finally, Lord, remind us of your presence when we are under pressure, especially during our week at school, at work, or at home. Our strength comes from with you, and without you, we are weak. Help us to remember that you are our strength during these times. And above all, help us to retain you, our Father, at the centre of our own lives. Amen.
We pray to him because we trust him, because he holds all things in his hands. Let's stand as we sing together, "Rejoice, the Lord is King."
reading is taken from John 20, verses 24 to 31. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen.
Thank you, Jackie. When I first met Martin, he was dying. He was a self-made man. He'd risen to the top of the meat trade, starting off in Smithfield Market and working on from there. He'd been hugely successful, and now he was dying of liver cancer and had only weeks to live. And my boss thought that this was a job for the young apprentice pastor. Martin had asked to speak to a vicar or a minister or someone because he had questions, and so my boss sent me off to talk to him. And slowly, we worked our way through all of Martin's questions. And in the end, something wonderful happened. And I will remember to my dying day the day that I went to visit him and he was already unconscious. But when I spoke to him about Jesus, he squeezed my hand. And I knew that something had happened. And it was a tremendous privilege to do that. And then a few days later, I conducted his funeral. And 25 years after that, his wife wrote to me, his widow wrote to me in the week before Fiona's funeral and thanked me for what I'd done for Martin. But for his daughter, it was a different story. His daughter sat on the front row in the funeral service, and I could feel the waves of anger rolling off her. And the most obvious person to direct them at was the chap who was speaking on God's behalf, which was me. And I could feel the anger coming towards me. And I could only hope, and I still hope, that one day she will meet someone who can help her with all of that, although it won't be me. And now today, in the reading that Jackie's read to us, we meet Thomas, and he's angry. He's not daft, and he's not cowardly. Actually, earlier on in John's Gospel, when everyone else is too frightened to go to Jerusalem, he's saying, "Come on, let's go with him. Hang it all. Let's trust the man and go with him." So it's not that he's cowardly. He had earlier said, "Look, let's follow Jesus anywhere and everywhere." But right now, his nose is put out of joint. He's missed out. He is far from satisfied. He's hovering somewhere between anger and skepticism, because everyone else is having a wonderful time with Jesus, and he's not part of it. He's angry. Now, before we plunge in and look at how Jesus deals with him, can I just say ahead of this week and all the weeks that follow, when we look at Jesus dealing with different kinds of people, and today he's dealing with an angry person, you know, we can't simply watch Jesus at work and say, "Right, well, I'll do it like that then, because I hate to break it to you, but there's stuff that Jesus can do that you can't." But there are lessons we can pick up. There are principles we can see. And here's the first one: that God knows how that person feels. God knows how that angry person feels. Most people like to think that things about them which are both good and bad are completely unique. Often when people are standing out against God and resisting the gospel, it's because they believe that their objection or their problem or their background or their particular wounds and scars make it too unlikely that anything as simple as the gospel will ever fit with them. They want to stand out, actually. They want their particular set of awkward problems to be so specific that God, if he exists, cannot possibly deal with them. You see, look at Thomas here. You know, he's missed out, he's cross, he's feeling like everybody else is at a party that he's not part of. And verse 25, he's incredibly specific. And he says there, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and unless I put my finger where the nails were, and unless I put my hand into his side, I will not believe. It's a pretty long list, and it's a very specific list. And then what happens? Jesus comes along. And what he offers is so specific, it actually sounds like he'd overheard Thomas in the first place. And he stands there in front of him and says, would you like to put your finger in the scars? Would you like to put your hand in my side? Listen, wherever people's anger or wherever people's problem with God has put them, it is never in a place where he can't find them. You know, Thomas is in this little fug of disappointment. He says, well, unless this and this and this happens. And Jesus has overheard that internal conversation. And he comes and stands in front of him and says, well, how about this and this and this? Wherever people are, wherever their disappointment with God has placed them, it's never in a place where he can't find them. Look at Adam and Eve. Hide. How stupid is that? Hiding in the garden from God. A garden that God had made. And he comes and finds them. Look at Hagar in the desert. You might remember the story that Hagar had been driven away out of the family house. And there she was with a little boy in the desert. And she was watching him fade away before her eyes. She was a desperately, desperately lonely woman. And God comes and finds her in her lonely place. Look at Jonah in the whale. It's his own stupid fault. He was there because of the silly things that he had done, but God came and found him. Look at Jeremiah in the dungeon. Jeremiah, who'd spoken up for God and done the right thing, and then he gets all his life's work trashed and thrown in a fire and himself thrown in a dungeon, but God finds him there. Look at Daniel in the lion's den. We acted out with the children last week. Surrounded by these ravenous beasts, and God is there. Look at Paul, go read the story in Acts. Look at Paul lying on his bed in Corinth and absolutely ready to throw the towel in because this jolly church is such hard work. And God comes and finds him and says, don't give up, Paul. Listen, if someone you love is mired in a fog of resentment against a God whose name and person they scarcely know, go home and read this story again. See the precision of what Jesus offers, how he knows exactly what is needed, and he comes up with the good. Know that God knows that person. He knows just what that wonderful, precious, unique, angry person needs. Be sure of that, that God knows. And take a leaf out of Jesus' book here and don't dodge the issue. If you've got the Bible open in front of you, have a look at verse 28 again. That is the purest and strongest declaration of faith we find anywhere in John's Gospel. You can almost hear the sound of Thomas's bottom jaw dropping. And he says, my Lord and my God. But what's actually happened at that moment? It seems highly likely, if you read the story, that he never actually touched the wounds. He never actually put his finger in the marks. He never actually put his hand in Jesus' side. But the important thing is that he was offered the opportunity. Wherever the seat of a person's anger with God may lie, can I just say, it's probably better to tackle it. You know, that's why God lets Elijah speak up. You know, when Elijah's had this great showdown with the prophets and then he runs away and then he's sitting sulking on a mountainside and he says, I don't want to be a prophet anymore, I'd rather die. And God kind of lets him talk about it. That's why in the story of Job, the point comes where God bends down and he looks Job in the eye. He says, come on, let's you and I talk about this. Let's you and I talk about what's going on here. You know, for Martin, that I mentioned earlier on, his problem was that he felt it was kind of unfair, it was sort of cheating that he should come to God at the last minute. He said, look, I've lived my life all without him, and now I've heard about him, and it doesn't seem right that I should give my heart to him now. And we started with the thief on the cross, and we worked on from there, and he came to Jesus. Well, it was Tony. Now, Tony was a mish kid. He'd been brought up in Papua New Guinea with his parents as missionaries, and he knew it all inside out and back to front and upside down, and you know, he could have quoted scripture at you. Trouble was, he didn't believe any of it. wasn't really sure about it. And Tony was a classicist. He'd done a degree in classics and said, OK, look, let's take one of the Gospels in the original language. And we took the Gospel of Luke. I said, come on, Tony, we'll take as long as it takes and we will rip it to pieces together. I know that's where your problem is. You're not sure whether you can really trust this stuff. So let's take it and we will look at it together. And we worked our way through Luke's Gospel in the original language, and Tony came back to faith and he's now a pastor. Look it in the eye. You know, the anger that people have with God or with the idea of God may center around all kinds of things. It may center around suffering. It may center around the misbehavior of the Christian church, and there's plenty of that to choose from. It may center around the multiplicity of religions that they see in the world. All of those things are reasonable objections, but know this. Know this. There is no anger so deep. There is no query so searching. There is no resentment so pervasive that the surface of God's love will be dented by it. So go look at it. Go look at it. And don't be afraid to do that. You know, when there's someone in a place that Thomas is in where he's missed out and he's cross and just know that God knows. And don't be afraid to look at the issue and be sure of this too, that God can do something about it. There's this wonderful moment of jeopardy or tension in verse 27 where Jesus stands there and he says, come on in, come on. Put your hand in the marks and put your hand in my side. Come and fit. And we don't actually know whether it happens or not. We don't know whether he actually does it. One commentator says, will he have to touch the wounds? Or will the wounds touch him? Well, in the end, he probably doesn't need to touch them. And it's this moment of conviction and conversion washes over him, and he's a changed man, and he says this incredible thing, my Lord and my God. And he went on to stick with Jesus to the bitter end. He may well have taken the gospel to India with him. And all the good stuff that was there in John 11 when everyone else was ready to walk away and Thomas was on saying, no, let's stick with him. All of that comes back with a vengeance. You see, God can change people. Or you think of Paul. You know, Paul with all that anger inside there and all that desperation to stamp out Christianity. And instead he becomes an unstoppable force to spread it in towns and cities, in liberty, in prison. You see, God knows. And if we confront where the issue is, God can change people. Look at Peter. You know, look at Peter, who at the beginning of John's gospel was dragged along slightly unwillingly by his brother to see someone who might be the Messiah. And he ends up being told off by Jesus for doing the work of Satan. Remember, get thee behind me, Satan. And he ends up denying Jesus not once or twice, but three times. But he also ends up sharing the gospel. He also ends up writing those tender letters. There's a wonderful description in 1 Peter 4 where he talks about faithfully ministering. And this is literally the Greek word, the rainbow-colored grace of God. He ends up faithful to the very, very end. God can do something about Thomas, and God can do something about Paul, and God can do something about Peter. So don't tell me, whoever it is you're thinking of, don't tell me that anyone is too tough a nut for God to crack. Ever. Because we have no scriptural basis for believing that that is the case. Thomas ends up blessed by this encounter. Verse 29, Jesus told him, blessed are you because you have seen me and believed. Blessed too are those who will believe without seeing. And thousands and thousands and thousands of other people after him, all of whom started off with fundamental objections to Jesus, have found themselves putting their hand in his and saying, from here on in, the journey is together. Back to verse 25 for a minute. Have a look at that. The other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. Imagine if you'd been in the room with him there. Imagine if you'd been there, you know, and you love Thomas and you've been through all kinds of things together and you don't want him to be on the outside looking in. But then he comes out with this nonsense about wanting to see Jesus and touch his wounds. You think, well, that's never going to happen. Now, indulge me and close your eyes for a moment. Picture the person whom you regard as least likely ever to say yes to God. Maybe the person who's closest to you. It may be your brother or your sister or your boss or your colleague. Picture their face now. Hear the sound of their voice. See how the shape of their mouth changes when they smile. See how their brow furrows when they think. Picture that person. And now, as Thomas's anger and skepticism falls away, listen to him saying, "My Lord and my God." And know this, that God can do that with the person you're picturing as well. God can do all things and reach all people, including the person who's in your mind right now. And please God, let the day come when they will utter the same phrase as Thomas. My Lord and my God. Let's pray. Father, please forgive us, forgive me for doubting the power of your gospel. Thank you, Father, for the unlikely people who have come to be disciples of Jesus. And right now, we pray for the person we were picturing, that their day would come. In Jesus' name. Amen. My Jesus, my Saviour. Thank you. Thank you. do sit down for a minute. I just want to show you something we were looking at together on Monday. Paul, thank you. I don't know who your Thomas is. One of the things we were talking about on Monday was thinking of the different areas of your life, the people you meet at work, the people you spend your leisure time with, your own family, your neighbours. You know, what names would you put in those circles? You don't have to tell me now, but what names would you put there? And when you've done that, we say, well, okay, just ask the Lord to direct you to one of those people in one of those circles. Let's start small, shall we? And don't even pray about sharing the gospel with them yet. Just pray about having a really important conversation with them. We'll work our way towards sharing the gospel and praying for sharing the gospel. But just think of those people. They all mean a lot to you. Think of one in particular. And right now, this week, just ask God that you can have a conversation with them. We'll get on to the other stuff. We'll get on to the God conversation. Just pray you can have a conversation with that person who matters so much this week. That's a prayer God never turns down, I think. Start it this week, and we'll see where we get together. Like I said to the children, it's all about helping people see Jesus where they haven't seen him before. Maybe it needs to start with that one person who matters so much to you. Well, let's stand, and we're going to close our service as we sing together In Christ Alone. Thank you. Christ, I'll stand. Father, we ask you now to send us with your strength, your peace, and your joy. that we might serve you in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.